Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is I Need No Name, and I am joined today by Schnitzel, and we have a lot to talk about. But first, Schnitzel, how have you been?
Thank you for hosting this podcast, and it's great to be back at Bavarian Podcast Works. It's pretty chilly here in Copenhagen. It's freezing, and it's also even more so because of the upset against Manchester City, the loss, which not really an upset in terms of quality, but also quite upsetting because the city is not in the greatest of spirits after that 6-2 aggregate thrashing, but also it's something they expected. So they're moving on ahead. Aside from that, in better spirits than in recent weeks because of the recent Bayern fixtures, we have been winning for a change and also winning comprehensively and not just by 2-1s or 3-2 games. It's blowout victories. So I think there is some positive twist to this, which I've been waiting for the entire season. And it's quite sad that it had to be after the Tuchel announcement that something positive had to happen.
Is it sad, though? For me, I'm glad. But otherwise, I'm also a little bit mixed on this because it means that I have to hope again. Because if people listen to the podcast that I recorded with Sadler last week, we were really down. We were like predicting complete doom. And then we went and performed against Lazio. And now I'm suddenly back and I suddenly have this foolish notion that maybe Bayern Munich can go on and win something this season. And given that the Bundesliga is basically out of reach, like not mathematically, but it would take a historic collapse for Leverkusen to not win the Bundesliga from here, that would mean that I have a feeling that Bayern Munich could win the Champions League. Now, I know we have the squad for it, but can this team win the Champions League? That's probably a question that no one can answer. But one thing that we can talk about is our upcoming opponents, because the Champions League quarterfinal and semifinal draw will take place this week. I believe it is on Friday. If it's not on Friday, then it'll be next Monday. But whichever one it is, we are going to be part of it, which is not something I thought would be happening last week when I recorded this. And we have a few decent options in the running. Not all the finalists or quarterfinalists have been confirmed as of yet, but I think we can make a pretty decent guess of who is going through. And even if we are wrong, I don't think it changes our outcome very much. So let's start on that topic, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also nice that out of the remaining teams with the fixtures yet to be decided, The games are actually with teams that are well-balanced. So I don't think it's going to be that different if we, for example, face Atletico Madrid or Inter Milan. I don't think it'll be.
Given their at least the approach, form this season, yeah. I would much rather face Madrid than Milan, to be honest. Inter, I mean, not Milan. Because Inter, they have been insane in Serie A. Have you seen what it looks like at the top of Serie A? Like, they make Leverkusen's lead look almost non-existent because they have a massive gap over Juventus in second place.
And yeah, but It is Serie A though.
Well, we can't disparage Serie A that much. I mean, some of our best players are from Serie A. Like, I know it sounds weird coming from me, the sole source of Serie A slander on this podcast, but like, it's not that bad. It's very boring, but it's not that bad.
I think play style wise, we would be facing pretty much the same tactic. So either way, Bayern would go into a game against either team with a similar mindset. And Atletico, I hate them in any knockouts because it's almost like the team is constructed to fare well in knockout competitions. And yes, recent years, our form has been so much better against Atletico. We gave them a sound 4-0 beating the last time we met, and it was so comprehensive, so thorough at the Allianz Arena that I haven't seen such a complete performance in so long, if you remember. Kingsley Coman was incredible that game. But that being said, this is not a group stage game. This is the Champions League quarterfinals. So it's two games. Anything could happen. We need probably easier, more comfortable opposition, just squeak through to the semifinals. And there's at least three teams in there that I would be really uncomfortable facing. So also, I'm still not completely sure about having Tuchel after confirming that he will be sacked at the end of the season. I'm not sure if his tactics are still going to reflect in the Champions League stage, because whenever something positive happens, Tuchel keeps refuting it by saying it was unintended. So you get the feeling that maybe if Champions League is the biggest of stages, if he makes a change like Guardiola always does, we might be in for problems. But I really hope that doesn't happen.
Okay, so I guess we've settled that. So you think that Atletico would be worse than Inter, whereas I disagree. I just say that Inter would be worse. That is, I guess we can, I guess we can put that under our first option. Then second, what other fixtures can we really talk about? Because let's talk about some of the
PSG.
confirmed ones. The confirmed ones, there's PSG. So what do you think of PSG? Or in the sense that, do you prefer PSG over some of the options, or do you think PSG would be one of the worst options that Bayern Munich could get?
I think I would definitely prefer PSG over Real Madrid and Manchester City, 100%. But I wouldn't prefer PSG over Arsenal or Barcelona, for example. So they're somewhere in the middle of the pack, I would say, for me personally. Also, because they have been quite streaky of late, but I think they're comfortably winning Ligue 1, which is also not that big of a deal. It's a Finnish league and doesn't really matter much. But I think in the Champions League, they've beaten Sociedad, also not the greatest of clubs, but they have given them a very comfortable beating. And I'm also kind of worried about facing Luka Hernandez. That's actually my main problem with facing PSG. I just do not like the thought of facing him in a Champions League game because I know what he can do in big Champions League fixtures. And somehow, for some reason, after leaving Bayern, he has not gotten injured a single time this season. So, not very happy with that prospect. What do you think? Do you think PSG is a good matchup for Bayern?
I don't really have anything to say about PSG, to be honest. I just think it would be very boring if we faced them again. I'm tired of facing PSG every year. I hope
We
that
keep
someone
saying
else
that.
gets them, you know? And we keep
We
saying
keep
that, but
saying
we
that.
keep getting them.
We
I
keep
would much rather,
that,
like, but there is something especially boring about facing PSG. Like, if you talk about fixtures that happen every year, if you face Barcelona this year, I would be perfectly happy with that. I can face Barcelona twice a year, every year, for the rest of time, and I would be very happy. I'm pretty sure Thomas Muller would also be very happy, and whatever makes Muller happy makes me happy. But like PSG, there's something about them. Like, they have all this star power, all the glitz and glamour, and you go to Paris and you play this and that, and it's a huge stadium, but there is something missing about them. They have that whiff of a plastic club, and their fans of nine are kind of insufferable, but not in a stan kind of way like the English fans are. They just come across as really fake and trying too hard, and because of that, it's just as a the experience as a fan of Bayern Munich facing PSG is not very pleasant. It's just like, yeah, we have to face this team. Yeah, Mbappe is good. Yeah, this guy is good. That guy is good. Yeah, Luis Enrique is probably not that good a coach, but whatever. Yeah, that's all we can
I
say
get what
about
you're saying.
PSG, you know? It's
I get
like
what you're saying.
it's not a It's not a tie that really captures the imagination. Yes, some neutrals will tune in, but people who really understand football are not going to tune into a Bayern versus PSG game because it tends to be a little bit dull and a little bit scrappy. It's not a champagne fixture, if that makes
I
sense.
think with PSG also, as of late, maybe in 2020, 2021, it was different, but as of late, I think they're a very difficult club to face for the low brownie points you get for beating them. Like, you don't get maybe as much gravitas or as much attraction to the club or as much praise as you might getting, beating a Barcelona or a Man United, even though they might be lower, at least on paper, in terms of overall quality. But PSG seems like too much of an obstacle to face just to come up with very little praise for beating them, because we do that quite often and it doesn't seem like it was that big of a deal before. So I get what you're saying. And it does seem like a very dead rubber fixture nowadays, because you get the same gist of facing the players with aura and everything, but collectively, I don't think they're that big of a deal in Europe. And also, I guess their Champions League record, they haven't won the competition even a single time. So how can you even consider them rivals when they have never won it even once before? Even heritage-wise, I think they're boring. So I get what you're saying.
An
But I
interesting
don't want to
game.
face them. I don't want to
Obviously,
face
I
them.
don't want to face them either, but a team I do want to face is Barcelona. As I said, what about you?
If they manage to beat Napoli.
Yeah, that's the
So
big point, right? I mean, I went to Barca Blaugrana and checked what they're saying about their team, and it's the usual. Xavi is clueless, Lewandowski is finished, etc., etc. We have too many injuries. I hope Flick can come back and fix us. And they really love Flick there. They are really hoping that he can come in and fix everything about them, fix their injuries, fix their transfers, fix their. I mean, I almost feel bad for them. I want to jump in and say, hey, Flick is pretty good, but he's not gonna fix everything. Like when he took over Bayern, a lot of things went right for him that will not be there at Barcelona when he takes over. But that's a different
I think
topic,
Flick at Barcelona will probably be more similar to Flick at Germany than
I
Flick
don't
at
think it
Bayern.
will be that bad. I think he, I think Barcelona have a as a squad, Barcelona have a lot of talent, but they really suck at using it. And I believe Pedri is again injured, and I believe and De Jong is also injured. So they're gonna go into the Napoli game with almost no midfield or no midfield at all, really, I think. I don't know what Gavi's injury situation is either. So with given that situation, the only reason I would back Barca in that tie is because, again, oh yeah, and also the game is away and they drew 1-1 at the Camp Nou. So the only reason I would back Barca in the tie is because they are more experienced at this stage and they have a guy like Robert Lewandowski, who I know he can score out of nowhere in many of these games, as long as you give him a bare minimum level of service, which Barcelona apparently has not been doing. Apparently, they have been kind of starving him, poor guy. I'm not
It's
actually. I don't
mind-bending.
feel bad
It's
for him though.
mind-bending that they consider Lewandowski a Finnish player when he's pretty much carrying them in Champions League fixtures. He scored the lone goal against Napoli, and he's the only reason they're still in the tie. So I don't know what they would even do without him. It doesn't make sense. But also,
They think most of their squad is finished, to be fair.
I actually think it's a case of them having a lot of really good players and a great academy, and they just don't know how to use it. And right now they're just going to a rough, streaky patch. And they ended up buying a lot of inflated players also in the process, and now they have no idea what to do with them. So it's very mixed. And also, correction, Barcelona are playing the second game at home. The
They
first game
are.
was away at Napoli.
Really? Oh, wow. And I saw that thing long. Then that's a big advantage for them because Camp Nou in the Champions League, it's not, I wouldn't say Camp Nou is a top tier atmosphere, but like, I mean, they don't even fill the stadium half the time. But in the Champions League, I guess they can muster something. And Camp Nou under lights, I'm assuming that Napoli are not going to do a Frankfurt-esque takeover of their stadium. So advantage Barca then, in my opinion. But I mean, Napoli. They are not the same Napoli that won
They're
Serie
not,
A last season. They are not. And that's completely down to their insane owner, Aurelio De Laurentiis, who sacked Spalletti for having the audacity to ask for a raise after winning the league against all odds, and they're basically reaping what they sowed. But despite that, they seem like a very competent opponent for Barca. It's not very dissimilar, in my opinion, to Lazio, who are also having a very down season. And if you look in the Serie A table, they're pretty much next to each other, I believe, in the table. So if Napoli were to beat Barca, it would be, in my opinion, a little bit of a repeat of the Lazio game, in the sense that we are facing a blue club from Italy. If
And both clubs are FCBs, yeah, maybe. But also, I think Napoli have a lot more quality in terms of individual talent if you compare player for player to Lazio. And they're more of a team that require just one or two good chances, and they have players up front who can convert them with ease. So it's up to Barcelona to keep the front line silent. But I think the Barca back line, dare I say, has looked pretty decent in recent weeks. So if anyone is to be relied on, I think the Barca backline should produce a clean sheet or at least a good defensive performance to qualify. Because the last three games, they have kept clean sheets in all of them. And the last time a team scored against them was Napoli in the reverse fixture. So it's all up to the Barcelona defense, I would say. The game would be won or lost by how well they defend that front line. Because other than the front line, I don't think Napoli really bursts in quality or really boasts too many amazing options. I think their midfield is decent, but it's not world class. I like Lobotka a lot. I really like his profile. But aside from that, I think their defense is subpar. I like Piotr Zielinski as an attacking midfielder. But yeah, it's going to be a good clash. But I think I would have to agree with you inside with Barca on this one. I think they managed to squeak past Napoli.
And if they do squeak past, how much percentage-wise, how much would you give a chance of Bayern Munich advancing against Barcelona? Assuming that we are not talking historical precedent here, like we're just talking
No,
about
no.
this season.
I'm chucking history down the bin because it does not matter. The coaching situation is completely different and everything in the club is different. We are not at the most stable phase right now. I would say a solid 60 to 65% for Bayern Munich.
I think
Yeah.
that's, I think 65% at this level of the Champions League is a very high number, you know?
But given that this is also a Barca team that we have faced a lot of times and that
Yeah,
we
we know.
kind of
And
are familiar
we kind
with
of
the
have their
squad.
number too. Like
Yeah,
they do have a bit of a complex going against us. Like they you can
we
see
are.
it's a bit like, you know how Dortmund does it? Like they kind of just go to the they step up against Bayern and immediately sort of just collapse mentally, like regardless
Yeah.
of how, what their form or what their quality might be.
It's always one of those games that Bayern uses as just a motivational game just to spring back. Even if you're in a slump, and if you might be losing three games in a row, or maybe like drawn two games, really poor run of form, and the Dortmund has won all their fixtures, and then they come to the Allianz Arena, or we go to Westfalenstadion, and then we just beat Dortmund comprehensively. Like there is no amount of momentum or no amount of previous record that can change the result in those ties at some points in the season. And I think that kind of inevitability is also what we see with Barcelona and Bayern in recent years. So I wouldn't be overconfident, but I also wouldn't feel too worried if we were to
Yeah,
face Barcelona. It
because
would actually be in
I think we tactically also match up quite well against them because of like talking Tuchel's tactics is almost a lost cause. But if he shows what we saw against Lazio against Barcelona, I don't see why, like I don't see how Barcelona will really break through that and keep us at bay. But that is assuming that we take our recent performances and build on them, which has not been the case this season.
Yeah, like I said, it could always be, oh, but I did not intend to do this. So I'm going to revert back to my original plan A, which was to do so and so. And then we just end up tossing away the fixture in the first leg. And then we have to again score in the second leg. And then Tuchel is like, oh, well, now I'm pushed to the spot. I need to make the changes and depend on these players to save me again. Same cycle repeats itself. I think Barcelona, I'm happy with them in the quarterfinals because they're one club where if we do end up losing the first leg, we can still beat them in the second leg. It won't be, it won't be thrown
It
away.
won't
Like,
be over,
but
yeah. Unless
yeah,
it's
but
something like it's something a huge scoreline or something. And even then, I
Which I
would
don't
still
think is
have some
happening.
hope. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, agreed. Yes, yeah.
Another
So
club that I would, yeah, I
I
think
think we
we
can
would
say
be
that
a
for Napoli and Barcelona, we agree that both teams, the outcome would be around 60, 55, 60% in Bayern's favor, right?
Yeah, I would say at most 70% in Bayern's favor. Like we would be very heavy
Okay. Yeah.
favorites. But
Yeah.
and another game where we would be very heavy favorites, I think the only other game left where we would be very heavy favorites would be, I think, PSV Dortmund. And they also
Yes.
drew one all in the first leg. Very disappointing. I was actually watching that game, sat in the ER between patients. Like we had Sony Live on and I was streaming the game, and me and the senior MO, we were watching on his phone. And God, Dortmund looks so pathetic against PSV. It is hard to describe how dire they look every single time I watch them. Like, I do not understand how they top that Champions League group of death. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And despite that, they might have what it takes to go through, but it's genuinely, I think, 50-50, which is very embarrassing for Dortmund because they should be clearly better than PSV Eindhoven.
I agree. I also think that quality-wise, Dortmund just have such a nice squad. But for some reason, in the Champions League, sometimes they have really good performances, and then you have to assume that they won't progress simply because they just falter when the stakes are too high. Remember last season in the Champions League against Chelsea?
Oh,
They were
yeah,
doing
that
so
was
well in the first leg.
embarrassing. That was
Yeah, it
so
was,
embarrassing. Like,
I think, the worst second leg performance.
Graham
Yeah.
Potter's Chelsea was literally losing to everyone, but they still knocked out Dortmund. And that Dortmund was at the top of the Bundesliga at the time.
Agreed.
So it was
Yes. Yeah.
ridiculous what they did.
It was
And yeah.
the second leg was the most uneventful Dortmund performance I've seen in ages. Like, they did not even put up a fight. It was like that the Chelsea was so embarrassing and poor to watch, and they managed to dust Dortmund.
Yeah.
And of course, you can argue that the penalty went this way or that way or whatever, but like, definitely Chelsea showed more intent, and Dortmund just did not have the same amount of conviction to win the fixture, as simple as that. And they keep bottling. So I wouldn't be surprised if PSV beat Dortmund at home, like at the Westfalenstadion, and they progress.
I think we've
And yeah.
established that Dortmund is the one team that Tuchel cannot lose to. He always seems to have a knack for finding his feet against them. So what about PSV? If we were to face PSV, what would you think our chances of advancing be? I'm assuming that we would be heavy favorites.
We would be heavy favorites, but I also think that they are like any side that should not be underestimated. I think Tuchel, it's weird, but I'm more worried about Tuchel with some minnows than I am with maybe a bigger club on paper, at least like Barcelona or maybe Atletico or Inter. So I would put my comfort at around 55 to 60%, not a lick more. I would say it maxes out at 60 for me, simply because I think PSV could be ignored. Like, their potential strength in attack and their experience could be ignored, and they could be underestimated, which could be a problem for us if Tuchel manages to bottle somehow one of the legs. Because we know that against teams that like to camp in their own half, we simply cannot concede because we have a tough time scoring against park buses, as we have seen this season. So we'll have to see. I would say 60% is where it peaks for me. And what is your percentage for that fixture?
I would give it like 75%.
Wow. Okay. That is very
That's high,
positive.
but like come on, we're Bayern Munich. This is PSV
Yeah.
Eindhoven is not a team that we usually talk about facing in the Champions League. PSV Eindhoven
But
is a type of team that we face in the group stage and beat them 4-0. Like
that's
this is
true.
not like I get it. We are not good this season for a variety of reasons, but the recent games show that it's not because we are fundamentally or structurally bad, as Thomas Muller said. We are not a shambles. It's just because we are not bringing our quality to bear. So if we were able to bring our quality to bear, and I think the team could do it. Now, this is again the hopium topping. Like I don't know where I'm getting hope from, but we should be able to
I don't
beat
know.
PSV, right?
Perhaps Malik Tillman, because he is our player
Yeah.
on loan, and
Yeah,
I'm
he's on
just worried
score
about.
if we play against him, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I get
That's
that feeling. Yeah.
almost guaranteed if we draw them. And oh boy, that I mean, it's almost inevitable. I mean, after what Stanisic did, From Leverkusen, like I think
Yeah, oh wow, yeah.
we have that coming, don't we?
Our board
But
keeps
yeah,
fumbling. Yeah,
the
yeah,
board
yeah.
keeps, yeah.
I think Stanisic was, in retrospect, in hindsight, one of the worst decisions we've made in recent years. I have no idea why we let him go, and we now just spent 40 million on Sacha Boey, who's supposed to be his replacement, and he keeps getting injured when we could have just had Stanisic play for us as a starter most of the games, and he's so good. Just doesn't
I
make
mean,
sense, you know?
it's not even, you didn't even need hindsight. Even at the time, we said that the move did not make any sense. And well, we
That's
were
true.
proven right. It just goes to
But
show that the people who are paid millions to do this work can sometimes be extremely short-sighted, and that is
I
worrying.
believe they consulted Tuchel before sending
They
Stanisic
did.
away,
They
right?
did. And
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
he wanted, he did, we basically said that. Like the reports we got said that Tuchel did not really see a role for Stanisic in the first team this
That
season,
is
and that's
wild.
why
Yeah.
they sent him on loan to our league competitors, and he's gonna win the Bundesliga with them while scoring against us, and that's just, that is so, and we had to spend significant money to replace him only for his replacement to get injured. So it's just like it's terrible, terrible, terrible business all around. But that doesn't have anything to do with the Champions League here. In the
I
Champions
agreed.
League,
Yeah.
I guess we can say that again, the PSV Dortmund thing, it's probably in our favor. Games that are not in our favor, I think we can talk about those. I think
The
with
one, the uncomfortable fixtures,
the
yeah.
uncomfortable fixtures, I think if we go from easiest to hardest, I'm gonna have to start with Arsenal. I think Arsenal is a very solid 50-50 for us.
I agree 100%. I'm actually worried about them. I'm really worried. And this might be controversial. This might be controversial. Maybe you might laugh at me. I don't care. I think I'm more worried about facing Arsenal this season in the Champions League than Real Madrid.
Oh, come on.
Especially because of how I think Real Madrid has looked in the fixtures against RB Leipzig. I agree that Leipzig were not maybe the easiest of opposition to face. And we have also struggled with Leipzig in recent weeks, but they basically would have been knocked out if not for, of course, the incredible goalkeeping that always somehow saves them. The referees were always with them. And Leipzig's own striker in Openda just fumbling opportunities. Like it was basically all them in the second leg, and they gave the game away to Real Madrid, in my eyes at least. So with Arsenal, they are top three in the Premier League. They have a really good roster filled with players that could surprise any team in Europe. And overall, they just have this feel to them, I guess. Just the players and Thomas Tuchel as well, I guess. Just different factors.
Well, yeah, I
Kind of
guess
worried about
Arsenal
Arsenal,
are
not gonna lie.
everything that
Yeah.
Bayern Munich are not right now because they are a long-term
Exactly.
project, very settled. The coach is knows what his tactics are, knows how his key players interact with each other and who he's going to play
Precisely.
and what he's going to do. Whereas with Tuchel, like he's been here for not even a year yet and we still don't even know what he thinks about his players or his lineup. And in terms of man to man, I think we have more quality than them.
100%, but it hasn't seemed to be the difference maker in recent weeks. Yeah.
Because man to man, we have more quality than every other team in the Bundesliga and probably every team in Europe, except for maybe one or two. So.
I think Man City is the only team that beats Bayern Munich, arguably with one or two players overall in a man-to-man comparison. Because I think man-to-man, even Bayern is overall better than Real Madrid. And people might disagree, but I think other than maybe the midfield, maybe Jude Bellingham and a couple of other players, the defense of Bayern, this is definitely better player to player. And I think the attack as well with Harry Kane, Musiala, Müller, and Leroy Sané. So just maybe, of course, Real Madrid know to show up when the stakes are high,
Yeah, and that's
but
why I put Madrid above Arsenal because Arsenal, I think we can get them on the mentality side because that is something that has kind of plagued them, you know? And
I like that take. Yes, I like that take.
yeah.
But that's exactly also why I think Arsenal are more dangerous this season, because Bayern will not underestimate Real Madrid. I guarantee you that. But we will underestimate Arsenal also because of the history. And the entire build-up leading to the matchup will be all of the memes brought up from history, the ten
Yeah,
twos and
ten
the
two.
five ones and everything, and all of that hype surrounding Bayern Munich, the immense pressure to deliver again, to win comprehensively, and also, I guess, Harry Kane being a former Tottenham player, all of these storylines, incredible pressure. It just feels like Real Madrid is not a club that Bayern will underestimate, but Arsenal definitely might be. And that's exactly why I'm worried about them.
Well, you know what's interesting about what we're saying about Arsenal is that they are actually going into the second leg 1-0 down. There is a decent chance they could be knocked out.
That is also true. And I actually hope they get knocked out because I'm an Arsenal fan, but Porto is much easier for Bayern Munich. Yeah,
Some
because
Arsenal fan.
I would rather Bayern win than Arsenal in the
Yeah.
Champions League.
Good
Yeah,
for
yeah.
you. Good for you. Let's
I think
I
with
wonder what
clubs, you
Tom
should
would
also have
say.
a that is oh yeah. No, Tom's a blatant Liverpool fan. He's
Yeah.
probably picking Liverpool in his head, but he just says stuff to please us in the podcast.
Yeah, he
We
wasn't
see
even he's
through.
not even recording right now because he's watching Liverpool Man City.
Exactly. Yeah, that tells you everything you need to know already. Yeah. I think for me it has always been Bayern since I was young, but Arsenal is always the club I support in the Premier League. I just want them to win the league, and I don't think it'll ever happen. But when it comes to
Yeah.
the UCL, there's only one team that I want to see win it, and that's Bayern Munich. And therefore, for the sake of making the path to the Champions League title easier at the cost of maybe Arsenal losing to Porto, I'm all game for it. Especially since it means Arsenal have one less competition to worry about, and maybe that helps them in the Premier League, you know.
Of course, if Porto are good enough to knock out Arsenal, they would be good enough to knock us out. Especially
I
since
disagree.
they could do the thing that Lazio failed to do, which is take a maybe 1-0, a fluky 1-0 win from the first leg and maybe defend it through the second leg. We have faced Porto quite a few times in the past, and it's never been
Yes.
a difficult fixture, even though it got a little bit dicey back under Guardiola, remember, where we lost the first leg,
Yes.
where we used to keep losing first legs in
And
every single Champions League
we
game.
came back with a 6-1 victory. That was incredible. I still remember that. Yeah. So I think Porto is a great team. I think they have an incredible defense, and that's everything basically. They love camping inside their own half. They love springing counters. Everything that is anti-Bayern. They're like the theoretical kryptonite. But I also think based on sheer player quality and mentality, Bayern dusts Porto if they face like even tomorrow, because I think Harry Kane and the rest of the Bayern Munich attack is going to have a field day against Porto. And there's something about Bayern Munich's defense against teams like with Arsenal, for example, the quality in attack really concerns me. With Porto, maybe because I haven't been following them this season, I actually don't know many of their attackers. I do not know their forwards. And also from the recent fixtures in Europe, like the game against Arsenal, a player named Galeno from Brazil scored against them. I had never heard of him before today, which is insane,
Yeah,
maybe,
this
but.
is where we needed Sadler on this podcast so he could give us the exact tactical analysis of why Porto is actually
Yeah.
the best team in Europe secretly, and they are going to completely rip Bayern Munich apart if Thomas Tuchel doesn't make these changes. But I think we have to leave it there for this part of the podcast because
Yeah.
we
I think
have
so
our
too.
last two big teams left to discuss, and I think we're
There
going to do
used to
that
be
in
a
a
time.
second time. Yeah.
There used to be a time when I knew all of these clubs and all
Yeah,
of the starting squads,
same here. There used to
but
be a time
it's
when I used to watch
insane how much
every
I've
single
fallen.
game
Yeah.
across the top four leagues and also used to keep up with all the smaller teams from the other leagues.
I
Not
think.
that Porto is a small team, but all the other teams, I would watch all the UCL matches and everything, and I would know all the players and I would know what's going on. But ever since college and everything and becoming a doctor and
Yeah.
stuff, it's just been impossible to eat. It's been I barely managed to keep up with Bayern Munich. Like
Just
it's
a nice subtle flex there from in.
yes, subtle
Pretty
flex that
cool. Yeah.
I've been bringing up in every podcast for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
But
And also it's the same here, like with my job and with university, it's been rough.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's been rough. Just like it's very inconsiderate when life encroaches on your passion for football. It's very annoying. But yeah, okay, let's take a break here and we will be back in for us it's going to be 10 minutes, but for you I hope it's going to be a little bit shorter. So just stay tuned, we will be back very soon. And we are back and It took a little while for us to come back because we were dealing with a few technical difficulties in the interim. So, in case we sound a little bit disconnected from what we were just talking about, it has been almost half an hour since Schnitzel and my meeting just ended. But I think that we covered pretty much most of the options, and we only have the two main ones left, which is Real Madrid and Man City. And I don't think we said the final word on Real Madrid. So, Schnitzel, I'll let you take it from here. What do you say about Real Madrid that we haven't said already?
Yeah, I was just talking about Real Madrid in comparative terms to Arsenal, but looking at Real Madrid alone by themselves, they are one team that nobody wants to face, especially in the Champions League, because it doesn't matter what's going for them or against them. They somehow find ways to win regardless. And of course, there's also the refereeing, which let's not talk about that right now. But the 12th man is obviously always important in games. So that is also usually in the favor of some teams. But all things considered, they just know how to show up when it matters. And even though they beat Leipzig 2-1, I think I can see a scenario where they do the same to us, which is worrying. And they just seem to have everyone's number. So they would be the second most unpleasant opponent in a list of least favorable opposition for Bayern, if not for one other club.
Yeah, if not for the club. And Real Madrid, at least I can say that they are not everything is going in their favor. They have a lot of injuries this season, especially given the number of ACLs they have. Our dear David Alaba himself has torn his ACL, so that's a big loss for them. But they have a very powerful midfield. And at this level, the midfield is what matters the most. I don't think we can get away with what we did against Lazio against them, where we had Pavlovic basically playing as a lone pivot. And that is going to be something that we would expect the coach to find solutions for. But as we have seen, finding solutions is not Thomas Tuchel's forte this season. So I am very worried about Real Madrid. I would, if we were to face them, I would give them a 60% chance in the sense that we would have a 40% chance. And that I think is almost ambitious.
Okay, actually, I usually like being prudent, but with this one, I'm going to say it's more 50-50 than most people think. And I would say it's mostly down to how well the team decides to show up on that very game, because I know that there are some Bayern players with a chip on their shoulder. They just want to crush that team at some point. And I know Thomas Müller longs for it. I know Manuel Neuer longs for it. These are all players that are difference makers for Bayern Munich. And I know Joshua Kimmich is really pissed after that previous loss against Real Madrid under Jupp Heynckes, where he scored the first goal, but they still managed to lose the game, you know. So I think there are some players with fires inside them against Real Madrid. They just want to get that payback. So maybe that could play in Bayern's favor. And like I said before, this is one team that Bayern will not take for granted. This is one team that Bayern will take very seriously. And therefore, I mean, this might be a bit too much, but I think I would even go 55% to 45% for Bayern, simply because right now, based on how the squad is performing in recent weeks, not to say Tuchel might change something about this in the near future, but right now, with how the squad looks, how they're performing, I feel slightly more optimistic against a team like Real Madrid, which mostly uses things like time wasting and scoring and bunkering up and just, I don't know, sparks of individual brilliance in the dying minutes of the game to get them the victory. But Bayern Munich overall look a way more balanced side right now. So I'm going to say 50 to 55% for Bayern Munich in favor against Real Madrid.
Fair enough. I think that is not giving Real Madrid enough credit because in the Champions League, they just seem to get better as the games go on. So in the quarterfinals, we could probably see a Real Madrid that is much better than the one we saw almost get knocked out by Leipzig. And of course, as we said, the 12th man is very important. But with Real Madrid, you can say that there are a lot of extenuating factors, but you can't necessarily say that they are much better than us on a man-to-man basis. Whereas with Man City, and I think this is the one team that Bayern Munich fans would much rather avoid. Man City, I think we have to just put our hands up and say they are better than us.
I hate to agree with you on this, but I think I have to because so I thought that Kane would be the answer. I genuinely believe that he would be what makes us different, sets us apart from all the other European opposition. But Manchester City, somehow, it seems like they have no ceiling. They just keep obliterating everyone they face, and
Well, not
especially in the
necessarily
Champions League.
everyone, because as of right now, as of recording, they are currently drawing with Liverpool.
Oh, that's nice. That's good to hear. Okay, so not everything is doom and gloom then. But I mean, I'm pretty sure Tom would be really pleased with a draw right now because his team would still be in the lead. But that being said, Man City in the Champions League, especially recent seasons, last season they pretty much rinsed everybody they faced. And of course, you can argue that Thomas Tuchel came in and ruined the season. But this season again, he is the same. He's our coach, and I'm not sure if he has what it takes to outsmart Pep. I'm not sure he has what it takes to. He has done it once with Chelsea against City, and it's possible that he might be able to pull something off like that again. But I think the circumstances were also very different. I think the squads are also very different. The tactics are completely different. His Chelsea is nothing like how we have seen Bayern play in recent years. And Chelsea fans loved him as a coach. Bayern fans do not. A lot of differences. I'm not sure if the squad is suited to play the way Tuchel wants against a team of Manchester City's caliber. We saw what kind of tactics he likes to employ against City with a squad like Bayern last season, and it was horrible. He did have very little time, but I am not very optimistic against City. I would probably give it 60 or 65% for City in favor of Bayern Munich, and I would still be quite optimistic.
And I kind of have to agree. I would even go as far as to say that we are only 35, sorry, not 35, 30% in terms of our matchup against City. And I don't know.
Okay.
I it's difficult because like it's not a good matchup. I can say that at least.
And they're not like a team that follows a specific like tactic that you can attack. Like they're not just a team that counterattacks, or they're not just a team that, bosses possession. They do everything. They can also counter, they can also circulate possession, they can also defend well against threats. They can also attack really quickly. They can do everything. So what do you do with a team that has almost no weaknesses? Almost, because they do have some weaknesses. They are susceptible to the occasional counter. Their defense is prone to lapses. Their goalkeeping is not the best. And generally, like the game against Copenhagen, the second game, they conceded on their first shot on target. So maybe the complacency, maybe the defensive lapses can work in Bayern's favor. But I think Bayern is also very prone to those things. And dare I say, if Upamecano plays against Man City, I just do not want to consider the prospect of having that trauma of last season hit me again with such force. I don't even know. He was so good up to that game, and then everything collapsed because he chose to have the worst performance of his career. So, yeah, it's highly concerning. But I'm also not going to discount Bayern's strength. The squad is incredible. We know the attack is phenomenal. We know the midfield is getting better with every passing game. Pavlovic is almost a Rodri region in a way. And it's going to be interesting if Tuchel goes with Pavlovic in such a huge game against Rodri. The defense with De Ligt, hopefully De Ligt continues to start. You never know with Tuchel, but with De Ligt, it's really strong as it can be. I would like to see a partnership of him and De Ligt against City and maybe Davies and currently, it's Joshua Kimmich, but I also think against City, I'd like Joshua Kimmich on the right wing. So it would change very little. But our team is good enough to beat them. It's just, will we beat them? The real question. And I think I would even go to 40%, but I'm not going to go above that for Bayern Munich.
I think that's as high as I would also go. At in I think the biggest change from last season is that we have Harry Kane, but I don't think that's big enough of a change to really make a difference in terms of our potential for winning the tie. You know what
Let
I hope
me put
for?
it this way.
I just hope
Let
that,
me.
yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question because I kind of also think I know what you were going to say, that Tuchel, that Guardiola overthinks it and messes the lineup or something so that we get the advantage. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe you were going to say something completely different.
No,
But
I
I
was
was going
going to
to
say
ask
something
you.
completely different, yeah.
Never mind. Okay. I was going to ask you. What your ideal, I mean, I'm not sure if there is any way, but We have to think up one if we are to face City in the quarterfinals. Method of stopping Haaland, Kevin De Bruyne duo. Like, how do you do that? What is the answer?
I think we do it the way we did it against Stuttgart, the 4-4-2, and just sort of absorb some of the pressure and make sure that they don't really get us into positions. Like, they don't get into positions where they can really supply Haaland. Just cut off his supply and he's not going to score. That's as simple as it gets. And once you've done that, then you can sort of make it uncomfortable for them. And if you can make it uncomfortable for City, you can score on them because they are not a team that is going to be extremely solid at the back. They keep clean sheets by possession, but that possession can be something that can be exploited because with players like Thomas Muller, who did not play in the previous City games, with guys like him, I think it is perfectly plausible that Bayern Munich could spring counterattacks, and with Harry Kane and Musiala and Sané, we could catch them out. And as long as we keep ourselves solid at the back and make sure we maintain our shape, we could come away with something. But honestly, what I want is I want something like Barcelona or Dortmund in our side of the bracket, and I want Madrid and City to face each other on the other side so that one of them knocks each other out, and possibly either them or Arsenal on that side. And that makes it more likely that we go to the next round, and then in the semi-final there are no easy draws anymore. So at that point, I would much rather face a team like Man City, and I would leave, I believe, Inter for something like the final because I believe that they are much weaker in a single leg knockout than in something like a double leg where they can make more use of their defensive prowess. So that is my ideal UCL draw, where we are on the opposite side of the bracket from a team like Man City and Real Madrid. We get something like Barcelona or Dortmund, and then we sort of just use our overwhelming talent advantage to make sure we get to the semifinals and then maybe a final. And then once you're in the final, it's totally 50-50, right? And it doesn't matter how good your squad is, anything can happen in a Champions League final, as we've seen as Bayern fans. So that is my hope for this season, that we can sort of make it to the Champions League final, and from there, who knows, we might cook.
I think I hope for the same. I was also going to ask you if, like, potentially for a matchup against City, do you think that the game will be won or lost in midfield?
Yes, obviously. I think in
Yeah.
the game will be won or lost in midfield no matter who we face. That's just what the Champions League is like. It's always the midfield.
But yeah.
That's why
I think
Real
I.
Madrid keep winning Champions Leagues because they have had the best midfield for the last several years.
That has some veracity to it, but also I think that sometimes, depending on the opposition you face, you can simply overwhelm them with the quality of your attack or defense. And in terms of attacking quality, we saw what Bayern is capable of doing in that 2020 season when we steamrolled pretty much everybody. And tactics-wise, if you just take a counter-pressing, high-intensity approach and steamroll opposition, granted, you need to have time to reset, and you need players with high stamina levels. You need to not run them into the ground with the Bundesliga fixtures. It would be really great if we can create the same intensity and the atmosphere, because I believe even teams like City can be pressured to make mistakes if you just press them at the right times. But I don't think Tuchel's Bayern has really been too much about pressing, which is why I'm also quite concerned. So I would also rather Real Madrid and Man City face each other and knock one of them out. But in the event that we do face them, I think Bayern has what it takes to beat them. I just think the strategy and the approach should be really well researched, and it has to be on point. And I really hope Tuchel has it in the wraps, because whether we like it or not, he's going to stay here till the end of the season. And that is just how it is. So it's win or lose with Tuchel, we need to ride on his coattails, and we need to hope he gets the job done.
Well, that's interesting. Since you brought it up, it is basically our finishing topic for this. Since we have announced Tuchel's sacking, we have seen an uptick in performances. So, I mentioned this in our preview podcast. Sorry, not preview, the post game show for the Mainz game, that there are two camps on this. One camp thinks that the uptick in performances is because The players have finally been liberated from the shackles that Tuchel put them under, and the other camp thinks that this is actually what Tuchel wanted his team to play like from the very beginning, and he's finally been liberated and can do what he wants because of the fact that he's no longer limited by having to think about his future. What camp do you fall into? Or do you have a completely unique take?
I think I fall into the camp where, as you mentioned, I think the players are just playing the way they want to play and with more freedom because they're less worried about Tuchel and his long term at Bayern Munich because he's going to be sacked. I think it's the breath of fresh air that is making them play with so much more freedom than they have been playing in recent weeks. I also see it's just because I see a motivation in them that I haven't seen. And the only factor that changed during this time was the announcement of Tuchel sacking. So I just did the math. And if you put two and two together, you can just see that the one factor that changed could have possibly contributed to this massive change. But also, player statements did come out from Joshua Kimmich and a few others that said that Tuchel's camp has also been doing so much better in recent weeks, which is ironic because that's what they should have done before his sacking was announced. We had to wait all this time to get things right. So I think it's a bit of both, honestly. But I think it's more, definitely more, at least according to me, the freedom that the players got, especially with like Matthias de Ligt, for example. The man looks so changed. He looks really happy. He was hugging his teammates. He was in great spirits after the game. He assisted a goal against Lazio, and he was fantastic. And in the most recent 8-1 victory. I think that is a sign of great mentality and that the team is pushing back, it's fighting. And I think this fighting spirit is also because of the departure of Thomas Tuchel at the end of the season.
Fair enough. I
It's
have
like
to agree. Like I also
it's like it
thought
doesn't
that
matter, right?
also, yeah, it doesn't
Yeah, it's
matter,
like it
and
doesn't
so
matter.
therefore
Yeah.
they are
No, no,
sort of
no.
just playing. Yeah.
I mean like the outcome. It's all like they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink into it because they know he's getting sacked. And Tuchel is probably thinking, oh, well, I'm getting sacked anyways. So might as well just go with a bang. So maybe he's giving players more freedom. Maybe he's letting them play the way they want to play. Because from maybe the Stuttgart interview, we saw that this is clearly not the way he wants the team to approach the game after Stuttgart, right? And also the
Yeah.
way Goretzka played in the game, and then you mentioned he came right after with an interview saying that Goretzka was playing unexpectedly. Like
No, he didn't
he
say
did
that. He
not.
said that he did not, he doesn't even know why Goretzka is suddenly playing so well, which is,
Precisely. Yeah, okay.
yeah, which
My
is
bad.
slightly different. He did talk about Goretzka's role, but I think that it kind of is important that Tuchel, like, whether or not Tuchel understands why the team is playing well, because if he doesn't, then it leaves room open for him to make mistakes further down the line. For example, like we can clearly see the impact of Thomas Muller. Now, what if when Kingsley Coman, I keep saying this, if Kingsley Coman comes back from injury, what if Tuchel decides, okay, now that I have Coman back, I can now bench Muller and I can move Musiala to the middle and Coman and Sané on the wings? That would be disastrous for us, you know? But it's the kind of thing that maybe Tuchel might make, it might make sense to him, you know? And the same thing you can say about, for example, the back line. Maybe what if he benches Matthias de Ligt? Or in midfield, what if when Mazraoui and Bowie, well, or at least Bowie, not Mazraoui, if they come back, what if he changes the midfield back and we go back to having Kimmich there and maybe Pavlovic bench, you know? Or what if Goretzka's role is changed again? What if these things happen? What if, like, if those things happen, then all the progress we made gets reset and it's way too late to ask for second chances at this stage of the season. At this stage, we should have a perfectly suitable plan and a starting 11 that should be set in stone so that we know when we go into our biggest games, these are the guys who are going to be our guys. And right now, I still don't feel that way about Tuchel's buy-in. I still feel like there is so much up in the air. And all of that is down to the coach because the coach himself still doesn't seem to know how to get the best out of the squad. So far, he's still figuring or discovering things about his players that he should have known by now. Like, how can he be this surprised by Goretzka's performances right now? Like, we know Goretzka is good. You are the guy who tried to get rid of him. Why did you do that? Why didn't you just test him out in these roles first before asking for an 80 million euro midfielder? That is my biggest complaint with Tuchel, and I'm just glad that he's going because regardless of what happens this season, even if he somehow wins us the Champions League and they give our chances of winning the Champions League maybe 10%, even if he somehow does that, I'm just glad he's gone because there is no long-term
No.
prospects with Tuchel.
No, I think if Bayern win the Champions League, the board will do a U-turn
No,
and I think
no,
he'll
no.
stay.
No, I don't think he will stay. I think he'll
I
go.
think I think
Because
I think the board will do a U-turn.
if they did not do a U-turn when Yupankis won a treble, then why would they do it here? For Thomas,
But
meaning Tuchel.
you underestimate the incompetence of this board.
Yeah, I often underestimate the incompetence of the board, but in this case, I do not think they will walk back the decision. I think it's even more likely in
Okay.
comparison that they will
Interesting.
sack Tuchel in the upcoming international break this month. Like they will just get rid of him and get someone in as an interim.
Interesting. Because for some reason, I feel like if he wins the Champions League, he stays. I
Nah, I
just
don't
think
think so. I think now
the
that the thing has been like announced, I guess there are some things in the background that they've already like discussed, like legal contract matters that have already been discussed that maybe you can't reverse at this stage without potentially having Tuchel sign an extension and get a pay bump, which I think Bayern wants to do after what we've been through in this one and this last 1 year or so, especially if Xabi Alonso is available, which he might not necessarily be. Now, if Alonso decide if we win the Champions League and if Alonso says he's not leaving Leverkusen no matter what, then possibly there will be a conversation. But if there is a conversation, I do not see that conversation going in favor of Tuchel because one of the reasons that Tuchel's sacking was announced is because of the effect he's having on future contract extensions for key players. And because of that, since guys like Kimmich and Goretzka will be considering their future in the summer, I think because of that, the board will still commit to moving Tuchel on, regardless of what he wins in this season. And given that our situation is as it is, the Champions League is the only thing left to win.
I'm going to hope you're right. Really going to
I've
hope.
been wrong before, so yeah, I've been wrong
It's
very often before, so
easy to go wrong when you're trying to guess what the board might do, right?
yeah, the
Especially like
Bayern board
recently.
is very
You have no
unpredictable. They
idea.
never make the sensible choice. They make insane choices. Like sometimes the insane choices are just a pleasant surprise, like when we got Harry Kane. I never would in a million years would have expected us to sign Harry Kane. So those are the nice pleasant surprises. The other unpleasant surprises are, I mean, a lot of what's happened in recent history. But yeah. So I think we can leave it there for at least a Tuchel discussion this week because I think most of our discussion was mainly centered around the Champions League. We need a bigger sample size, really. Like what happens next week and the week after that? I think no, the week after that is the international break. We watch Julian Nagelsmann flounder helplessly against whatever teams we have scheduled games against. But if we
Yeah.
see some kind of build up in next week's game compared to the Mainz game and the Lazio game, if we see some progress and we see signs that Tuchel is keeping to the setup and the formula that he's discovered here, then I will be optimistic. I will increase my optimism by 10%, which is not a
Why do
lot,
I get
but
the feeling?
like, you know.
Why do I get the feeling Bayern is going to again, start floundering games in the Bundesliga, and by the time the Champions League rolls around and we have to face someone like Real Madrid, we might actually beat them. Because this team gives me that kind of vibe. It's kind
Yeah,
of,
it does have
it's
that
early,
vibe, you
but
know?
yeah,
It
it's
has a
early,
vibe
but
of kind of like the underdog story in the champ because a lot of teams that win the Champions League do it that way, right? They don't
yeah.
always like the teams like Flicks Bayern or Pep's Man City from last season doing
They're
just
more the
conquering
exception.
everything. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're the exception. Most teams that win the Champions League, they do it despite everything going against them in some way or the other. They just do it with their inherent quality and their ability to.
Real Madrid has never won a treble, and they've won 14 Champions Leagues.
Yes, exactly.
Not a treble a single time. Yeah.
So I think, guess compared to last week, we can finish this podcast off on a decently high note.
Less
So
depressing note. Yeah.
less depressing note. Like last week, I was ready to like just give up then and there. I thought everything was over, but now we have some hope. So I give Bayern Munich 10% chance of winning the Champions League this season. What is your number, Schnitzel?
10% to win it all. I'm gonna go 20%.
That's high. That's a very
No,
high number.
yeah, that is it's high, but if the bracket goes our way, which it can, I think It might suddenly change drastically. Like
Yeah, if the bracket
you
goes our
mentioned.
way, I would give it if the most ideal bracket comes up, then I would change my prediction to 30%, maybe
Wow,
even
yeah.
40%.
Exactly. So I think it all depends on the draw results, basically. So
Yeah.
let's just
And we are
hope
going
that it
to,
goes
on our
well.
podcast, discuss the draw probably on Chuck's weekend warm-up podcast. So please do stay tuned for that and check out everything that we have on in store on our blog and follow us on Twitter at BavarianFBWorks. Follow each of us personally if you want. I don't know why you would. And I think that is enough for us today because it is very late and I need to go to bed after posting this. So thank you for listening and good night to everyone.
Vielen Dank und auf Wiedersehen.